After President Trump's executive order this week rolling back Obama administration climate change regulations, the EPA sent out a press release yesterday summarizing reaction. The very first line, "With this executive order, President Trump has chosen to recklessly bury his head in the sand." Oops, some lessons here. Don't hit send before you've proofread, and you can't take it back once it's on social media. Joining us to look at this and other stories online this week is Femi Okeh, host of the stream on Al Jazeera English. She's in Washington. Femi, what happened?
I've been there.
Well, who hasn't? But where'd the quote come from? What happened?
Well, the press release said what they are saying about President Trump's executive order on energy independence. So this was a press release by the EPA. So all you need to know about how this mess up happened are two names. One is a Democrat and one is a Republican. So Senator Shelley Moore is a Republican, very supportive of President Trump. Senator Tom Carper is from Delaware and he is a Democrat. Their opinions on what was happening with the environment and Trump's policy were reversed. This is how the EPA found out, and this is what they said. They said an internal draft was mistakenly sent with a quote that belonged to Senator Carper but was wrongly attributed to Senator Capito. So that was the mess up. Democrat viewpoint instead of a Republican viewpoint. And they did say that they were reviewing their team and hopefully hope to do better. Of course, Twitter had a field day with that and really enjoyed the slight change in message for an hour or two from the Trump administration.
What were people saying?
Oh, they were saying, this is not in line with President Trump. Or finally, the truth is out here. Facts, real facts, finally. Okay. And also, there was some debate about whether this might have been done deliberately by rogue staff at the EPA, or whether it was a genuine snafu.
Okay. Well, we'll follow that. But speaking of retractions, Fox News' Bill O'Reilly apologized this week after that widely criticized comment he made about Congresswoman Maxine Waters. Let's just listen to what he originally said. There was a serious political conversation going on, and here he was being asked on Fox and Friends to respond to a video clip of Congresswoman Waters.
So what does that mean, Bill? We've been listening all morning. We cannot.
I didn't hear a word she said. I was looking at the James Brown wig.
Okay, this spawned a hashtag. Tell us more, Femi.
It could be hashtag, oh no, he didn't. But the actual hashtag was started by an activist called Brittany Packnett, and she studied the hashtag Black Women at Work, which is probably one of the most revealing hashtags we've had this week and for a long time. She asks women of color to share their experiences at work. Let me give you an example. This is Candice Webber. Candice Webber gives you a little scene from her workplace. She says, the patient says to her, I need my nurse. Candice, how may I help you? Patient, just get the nurse, the blonde lady. Candice, she's my assistant. So there's an assumption there, because she's a black woman, that she cannot be the nurse. Alexia McKay says, hashtag black women at work. Being quiet is having attitude. Speaking up is angry. At Maxine Waters also used the same hashtag. She is extremely meme-tastic, very colourful, very charismatic politician. She said something very simple. I am a strong black woman. I cannot be intimidated and I am not going anywhere. Hashtag black women at work. Mm. It's really worth taking a look for this hashtag. It gives you some very raw experiences.
And this also comes in the same week when the African-American esteemed journalist April Ryan was told to stop shaking her head while she was working at a press conference, told that by Sean Spicer, the White House spokesperson. So we'll
indeed,
take a look
and,
at that.
And that story is also included in that hashtag,
right,
and those story sharings under black women at work.
We want to mention just in passing that the flyers that were posted at the Stanton College Prep School in Jacksonville, Florida, getting a lot of criticism because they told girls what to wear to the prom to be a good girl. And a lot of people have tried to move away from that, you know, good girl, bad girl thing. So we'll have that at hereandnow.org. But also a story involving Education Secretary Betsy DeVos speaking at the Brookings Institution in favor of school choice. That's her thing, when she made this comparison.
Just like the traditional taxi system revolted against ride sharing, so too does the education establishment feel threatened by the rise of school choice. In both cases, the entrenched status quo has resisted models that empower individuals.
Well, Femi, what did they say on social media?
Ooh, okay. So Lyft and Uber get a lot of attention online anyway. They are ride-sharing apps. Mm. And Betsy DeVos used an analogy that got her into an awful lot of trouble. Picking a school should be like choosing among Uber, Lyft or a taxi. She's a big proponent of school choice and school options. But her critics online were saying, well, public school isn't necessarily an option for a lot of people. It shouldn't be a business choice. It should be a right.
Yeah. It's not as if in every area you can either choose between calling your Uber or calling the taxi company.
Yes.
And, you know, teachers aren't Uber drivers
exactly.
or whatever. So
one netizen said, well, what if you actually have to take the bus? What about us?
There we go. Okay. Well, that conversation will continue. Femi Okeh, host of the stream on Al Jazeera English, helping us take a look at how the news and just our daily lives are filtering through social media. Femi, thanks as always.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Robin. Mm-hmm.